but a map of recurring struggles, drawn from the common experience of political societies attempting to govern themselves without succumbing to either chaos or domination. The absence of national context, far from weakening the analysis, sharpens it. What is lost in color is gained in contrast. What is sacrificed in narrative is recovered in perspective. This deliberate erasure opens space for a more honest encounter with democracy's structure and substance, revealing, in place of heroes and dates, the mechanisms by which ideals are sustained or betrayed. Beneath the carefully maintained surface of democratic life, where freedom is proclaimed, equality affirmed, and transparency celebrated, lurks a reality far more compromised. What appears at first glance to be an open and participatory system often functions in practice as a stage upon which familiar rituals are performed while the true workings of power remain concealed. The banners of liberty flutter high, but behind them, manipulation weaves quietly through institutions. Corruption takes root in the soil of procedure, and inequality deepens beneath the language of fairness. Participation, so central to the democratic mythos, frequently becomes an empty gesture, preserved more for appearance than substance. Many who engage with the system, casting ballots, following debates, repeating the accepted phrases, do so not out of genuine belief, but because no other path seems visible. Habit replaces hope. Propaganda fills the silence where conviction should dwell. The absence of alternatives does not inspire loyalty, but breeds a quiet resignation, a sense that while the machinery may be flawed, it is too vast to challenge and too familiar to escape. Power, though dressed in the garments of public accountability, often lies elsewhere. Behind elected figures and visible offices, decisions are shaped by forces largely immune to scrutiny, interests too vast to name, networks too complex to trace. The architecture remains democratic in form, yet its core may serve ends far removed from the collective will. In such a system, autocracy does not arrive with the clash of weapons or the march of boots. It enters masked, embedded in procedures, smiling behind the language of consent. The illusion holds because it is carefully curated. Symbols are preserved, ceremonies observed, and opposition permitted, so long as it does not threaten the quiet concentration of authority. Thus, what presents itself as the rule of the people often conceals rule over them, refined not through violence, but through persuasion, distraction, and the subtle erosion of agency. Voices that seek to unveil the concealed mechanics of power within democratic frameworks often find themselves swiftly cast aside, labeled as alarmists or conspiracy theorists. This act of marginalization serves a dual function. It discredits the speaker while preserving the illusion that the system remains open to criticism. By portraying dissent as irrational or dangerous, the democratic order reinforces its own image of balance and reason, even as it subtly narrows the space for meaningful challenge. This suppression does not occur through overt censorship, but rather through a more insidious process of dismissal and ridicule. Questioning the sincerity of democratic practice, doubting the neutrality of its institutions, or highlighting its structural contradictions becomes, in many circles, a form of sacrilege, proof not of insight, but of extremism. In this way, skepticism is not answered, but pathologized. Political critique is framed as a symptom, not an argument. Here lies one of democracy's most persistent paradoxes, its unique ability to claim moral and institutional legitimacy while quietly excluding anything that might truly threaten its self-image. Alternatives are not outlawed, but rendered invisible. They are allowed